And time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Your host, Dana Rodriguez, is joined tonight by author Jerry Nachman and guest panelist, bassoonist, and all-around nice guy, Jonathan Westerling.
Gotta be this or that.
And here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely day today and can spare us an hour of your time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are hoping you can be one of those that participates. So settle back and give us a call. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. The number here is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll-free number, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Sometimes our lines, I guess if you're all going to call right away, it's hardly reason for me to give the number out anymore. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I was just going to say, sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but give us a call as soon as you can and we'll get you on. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word, and that is at yahoo.com while it lasts. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. before it gets broken up completely. And if you would like to hear this show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, because KALW will never be broken up, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org, celebrating 75 wonderful years this year. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight, also at kalw.org in iTunes and wherever wonderful radio shows are available. So all that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, and then we'll get to the calls, I promise. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman is looking forward to watching the Olympics, especially the 200-meter downhill women's freestyle fencing and parallel bars competition.
Thank you, Dana. Well, the International Olympic Doping Committee has cleared Jonathan Westerling to participate in tonight's Minds Over Matter, since the only drug he's on is a peach latte.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure for our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, to switch from watching the political verbal gymnastics to the real deal of the Olympics.
All right. That is us. And we begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman, who's had a good night's sleep. Finally.
Yeah, two in a row.
Yeah.
The top two bestsellers on Amazon Books are not actual books. What are they?
They are not actual books. You mean they are not, they don't look like
they're
a book?
They're bound, but they're not books.
Is one of them a John Lewis story about his life done in graphic?
No.
Through comic book form?
No.
Okay.
Is it some kind of a board game?
No. Good guess.
Harkening back to last week.
No.
All right, so it's on the book list, but it's not a book, but it is bound, you said.
Yeah.
I'd hardly think calendars are best-selling things on...
No.
Okay, so could you tell us if this is fiction or nonfiction? You're not sure.
No. One is fiction and one is not fiction.
Okay.
Is it not a book because it has no words? In other words, is it a picture?
They both have words.
But they're not books.
They're not books.
But they're bound.
They're bound.
Interesting. Okay.
Are they magazines?
No. Hmm.
Are they downloads of some kind?
No.
I wouldn't be bound. Well, it'd be bound by terms of agreement.
Right. We never know. He might be being tricky about it. Okay. If you repeat the question, Jerry.
The top two bestsellers on Amazon Books are not actual books. What are they?
All right. And Jonathan, why don't you go ahead, too?
Sure. Thank you. I always bring an audio trivia question. And so my audio trivia question today is very simple. I'm going to play a 20-second excerpt from a speech. Just simply tell me who it is.
When the history of our times is written, it must record as supremely significant the physical, psychic, and social changes women have undergone in these exciting decades. Not only has applied science decreased the toil in the home, but it has provided undreamed of economic opportunities for women.
So who was that?
Sounds a little like Eleanor Roosevelt, but I don't think it
is. No, that's a good guess.
Could you say what decade that was recorded in?
It is earlier than you'd expect, given the topic matter.
The quality of the recording sounds like 1910.
Is it post-World War II?
No, it is not.
Oh, it must be post-World War I, I bet.
I hope so. Yeah. Well, audio recording.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, pre-World War I.
No, it's not pre-World War I.
And this person was well-known in public life.
Absolutely.
And she was talking about something scientific, but I can't remember. What was the gist of it?
But was the science of home economics?
That was the one that she was mentioning, yes.
Oh.
Okay. Was this person a first lady?
No.
All right.
Someone interested in home economics.
Right. This person ever win the Nobel Prize?
No.
All right. Huh. Okay.
Maybe we could hear it again later.
Yeah, we'll play it again in a little while.
And you just want to know who this person
Simply
is.
Simply identify who that was.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Hayward.
Hi. Hey, Garrett.
A couple questions. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Hall of Fame ceremonies yesterday, you know, when Kent State was inducted, led me to a question.
Right.
Where did the Oakland Raiders play their first two seasons?
Where? Frank Ewell Field. Frank Ewell Field.
No, I thought it was Candlestick Park.
They did?
Where?
Yeah, they played Candlestick Park, too.
Candlestick Park?
Oh, they did?
You mean their full season or just occasionally?
I think it was one full season, yeah.
Oh.
You mean that was the first two seasons of their existence?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was the first season, the first two seasons, but they did play at Candlestick Park.
Okay.
Okay, well, the first arena was a Coliseum with Frank Ewell Field.
Oh, all right. What's the other question?
Another question.
Right.
What do both Route 66, Bewitched, and Bonanza all share in common?
Route 66, Bewitched, and Bonanza.
Was it the author of their theme song?
No.
That's a good guess.
Were they all created by the same person?
No.
Is this in front of the camera or behind the camera, the reason?
No, it has something to do with a certain sponsor.
Oh.
They're all sponsored by the same company?
Yeah. Do you know what it was?
I have no idea.
Bonanza, Route 66, Bewitched.
Well, just think of Route 66. There's something there.
Is it a gasoline company?
No. But you're on the right track.
Tires, Goodyear?
Nope.
Car company.
Is it an oil?
Yeah,
Chevy. Car company. Do you know what it was?
Ford.
Well, were they driving at Route 66? They were driving, was it a Corvette?
Yeah.
Sounds Chevrolet.
Chevrolet.
Yeah, Chevrolet sponsored Route 66. They co-sponsored Bewitched, although it was also sponsored by Quaker Oats and Bonanza. Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Let me give you a couple questions. What's the only U.S. state where it is illegal to own either a hamster or a hummingbird? And this is a real law.
Why?
Well, if I told you why, then you would get the question.
No, I wouldn't.
What is the only U.S. state where it is illegal to own either a hamster or a hummingbird?
A hamster. I can see owning a hummingbird being problematic, but owning a hamster is like a rite of passage for my goodness.
Yeah.
And why? It's not the state.
You say, if you told us, you would give it away?
Is it the state rodent? They don't want them being abused?
No, no.
Is there some logical connection from the state?
Yeah, there is.
There is?
Yeah.
Jeez. Hamster and a hummingbird.
Right. What is the only U.S. state where it is illegal to own either a hamster or a hummingbird?
I'll say Hawaii.
You're right.
Because they're not native species, and it would be bringing in non-native
right.
species.
Oh, right.
Very
right.
good, Jonathan.
Right. Okay. You. Good job. All right. What is the only state whose tallest building is only 11 stories?
Oh, yes.
Utah.
No? No. Oh, no, they have plenty of tall buildings there.
Vermont?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. You're killing me.
I remember that. I grew up in Massachusetts.
Oh.
So.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll make it harder for you then.
I'll regret those
All
answers.
Right.
How many? Three questions?
Well, he answered the first two,
okay.
so I have
He's
to ask
He's the moderator.
Something.
Okay, all right.
All right. Jerry will like this, but I'm going to limit you to one answer, at least initially, okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an important female character from 7 long-running Broadway shows, okay? So these are important female characters from 7 very long-running Broadway shows.
Give me 2.
No, I'll give you 1 initially. And I want you to tell me what the show is.
Okay.
That's all there is to
okay.
it. Okay. All right. So, again, 7 important female characters from long-running Broadway shows. Tell me what the Broadway show is. Number 1, Maggie Winslow. Number 2, Ada Lester.
Ada, how do you spell it?
Ada, A-D-A.
Yeah.
Lester, L-E-S-T-E-R. Number 3, Myra Bruhl. And that's Bruhl.
So far, I know none of them.
Number 4, Vida Simmons. Number 5, Corey, C-O-R-R-I-E, Bratton. B-R-A-T-T-E-N. Number 6, Dorothy Brock. B-R-O-C-K.
And okay.
And number 7, Rosemary Pilkington, P-I-L-K-I-N-G-T-O-N. So again, these are important female characters from very long-running Broadway shows. I just want you to tell me the Broadway show. Number 1, Maggie Winslow. Number 2, Ada Lester. Number 3, Myra Bruhl. Number 4, Vida Simmons. Number 5, Corey Bratton. Number 6, Dorothy Brock. Number 7, Rosemary Pilkington. I'll start with you.
I thought you said they were important characters.
They are important characters, indeed.
Boy, I'm coming up empty. I don't recognize a single one of those myself. But okay. Jerry, you can.
I just know one of them, Dorothy Brock, who's the villainess in 42nd Street.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Not really a villainess, but.
Well, she's the one that's replaced by the,
right.
the young girl from Allentown.
Right. Yes, Dorothy Brock is the sort of the antagonist in 42nd Street. All right, so what are the other shows involved here?
And Maggie Winslow, that sounds familiar.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You've seen all. Well,
I know, I'm sure you've seen
them all.
These are not necessarily leads, I take it.
They are very, as close to female leads as I could get, or very important female characters, yeah.
Wow.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hey, for the audio question, is it Ayn Rand?
It is not.
Oh.
Good guess, though.
Interesting guess. Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the Amazon bestsellers, is one of them a play?
Yes.
Oh. Of course.
Ah.
Okay. Well, I don't have a guess past that. I just thought I'd narrow it down. Okay, I have a couple questions.
Okay.
So what's the only state that can be typed on a single row of a QWERTY keyboard?
A single row.
This has come up.
Yeah.
And now I have to remember.
Oh, yes.
How many letters in the name?
That's a pretty big hint.
Yeah, it's 4.
Oh, okay.
I have another question if you want to leave it.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
So what director has filmed parts for the following actors but cut them completely out of his movies? Mickey Rourke, Bill Pullman, Rachel Weisz, Michael Sheen, Amanda Peet, and Jessica Chastain.
Is it John Milius?
Nope.
Not John Milius. Is it the fellow that did the Thin Red Line? Wait a minute.
Yep, that that's him.
His name went right out of my head. Terrence Malick.
Yep, that's it.
All right. Okay. Good
right.
job.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. So the state he was looking for is four letters.
Four letters. Obviously, we don't have keyboards or computers here in the studio. If they ever needed proof we weren't using computers, this is it.
Utah? No.
I don't think it's Utah. Ohio? No. Mm-hmm. Iowa is... no.
All right.
I've been working on a keyboard 50 years and I can't remember
where the damn letters are.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Terry in San Francisco.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, I think I have the answers to that Amazon question.
Okay.
I think the play is probably the Harry Potter play.
That's correct.
Oh, very good.
And the other thing I think is the sort of pocket edition of the Constitution.
That's right.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Excellent.
Very good.
Good
right,
job.
Thanks.
I'm glad that's a bestseller.
Yeah, well.
I almost said Hamilton, but that would have been.
That's a good guess, but no. Uh-huh. Yeah, very good caller.
Good job. Good job. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi.
I think that last caller, or the one who asked the question about one keyboard, I think he meant four different letters, not four letters in the whole name of the state, because I think he meant Alaska.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think that's correct.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Right, right. And then actually, I didn't have any answers, but I had a question actually regarding states as well.
Sure.
Which is that one is easy and another one is more difficult. So if you were spelling all of the states in the United States, there's only one letter that doesn't appear in any of the states.
Q? With
that.
Q.
Right, that's the easy one. The second one's more difficult is there are three letters that only appear one time if you spell out all the states. What are those letters?
What's that again?
So there are three letters that only appear one time in the state names.
Exactly.
And Q is the only letter that doesn't appear at all.
Right.
Okay. One time.
I don't quite get the question. I'm sorry.
If you look at all the names of the states in the U.S., Q is the only letter that doesn't appear
at all. That one I get.
At all.
Yeah.
Okay. And there are three letters that only appear once. In a list of all the states' names.
Oh, the three. Oh, I
right.
see. Together, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So Z must be one.
Mm-hmm.
Z is one.
U.
And that would be in
Arizona.
And
Arizona, right? And
right.
Country, yeah, the,
X.
So, the people. No, X appears more than once.
No, Texas.
Oh, Texas and
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Okay. U.
I was going to guess U.
No, that appears. Many more times. Utah,
okay.
Massachusetts.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a vowel, obviously. It's a consonant, right?
No, the other two are consonants, yeah.
Right.
K, Dakota?
No. Because you got north and south.
In Kentucky.
Right.
In Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh,
are they in the second half of the alphabet?
Well, they're in one half of the alphabet, but it's about the second half.
Really?
How about J? No.
J, correct.
J, yes.
Okay. Yeah, only in New Jersey.
Right. And
last one's a little tougher because it's not that obscure a letter, really. It's not that.
F. F is in Frank.
Very good.
Wow. Oh,
good job. Good job.
Z, J, and F.
All
good
right.
Good job. Do you have time for one more question?
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So I happened to be sick this week and listened to a lot of old episodes. And I noticed something. What are the three movies, when you ask a question about Best Picture,
right?
What are the three movies that people most often incorrectly guess because they never won Best Picture?
What a great question.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm flattered that you, when you were sick, you were listening to back episodes of this show.
Yeah, it was sort of fascinating, actually, because you learn a few things about this, but
That's what a great question. So okay,
yeah.
give the question once more.
Okay, that is when you pose a question regarding Best Pictures.
All right.
What are the three most frequent guesses for a movie that people guess, which actually did not win Best Picture at all?
Okay, that's very interesting.
Casablanca, did it win Best
that
Picture?
That won Best Picture.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So what decade are each of the movies in, if you got
to? One is from the 80s, and the other two are from the 60s. All three of these actually, like, into double digits, people have guessed them.
Right. Huh. The 80s and the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Dr. Zhivago one? No.
No, that, believe it or not, that's actually the fourth one. Yeah, that's guessed a lot, too. But
okay.
The other three guess more.
What kind of I know I'm asking for a lot of hints. What kind of movies are they, basically?
They're all dramas.
They're all dramas. All right.
Yeah.
It's such a good question.
I'll give you a big clue. One of them was a stage play. It did win Oscars, but not for Best Picture.
Okay. Oh, it's such a good question. Oh no, but I'm not getting it. Go ahead.
Okay. One of them is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, okay. Good.
The Color Purple.
Uh-huh.
Gets guessed a lot. And the one that gets by far the most is, and people never believe you when you say it didn't win Best Picture, is Bonnie and Clyde.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very good question.
Yeah,
thank you
cool.
so much. Yeah.
Okay. You have a great night.
All right. You too. And Jerry, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. I have to recuse you from this, Dana. Much as it saddens me.
I didn't
me.
Recuse you from my questions.
Much as it saddens
All
me.
Right,
well, yours was harder.
It was, yeah.
Marty Nixon only sang on screen once. In what role?
Marty Nixon
was... Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sang once. Boy, I don't think I've... That doesn't ring a bell for me. Nope. We'll have to put that out there. Do you know the answer, Dana?
Of course he does.
I think it was in the obit, so I think I do know that.
So we'll wait till the end.
All right, yeah.
Marty Nixon.
Well, explain who Marty Nixon is for people.
Well, she sang the... She was the off-screen voice for Natalie Wood, Deborah Carr, and Audrey Hepburn.
In
musicals.
Musicals. So
yeah.
She did the singing in
yeah,
My Fair Lady
only,
and The King and I.
She was only singing on screen.
And
only sang in one movie once. What was it?
Right.
It wasn't not a title role, but it was a, it was a part.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnero.
Hey, Big Radul.
So I have another, what do these people have in common?
Okay.
Question.
Is this more John Bulldog Drummond? Because I like that. Go ahead.
Okay, the first one is John Floyd.
John Floyd.
Hugh White. Willie Magnum. Gratz Brown.
What was the first name?
Gratz. Gratz.
Brown.
Jeez.
Charles Jenkins. And John Hospers.
Now,
no idea.
Are these character names or real names of people who were better known by others?
No, these are real people.
They're real people.
Yeah.
Go over the whole list once more, if you would.
Okay. John Floyd, Hugh White, Willie Magnum, Gratz Brown, Charles Jenkins, and John Hospers.
Do we know them as some other name? Is that the idea?
No.
Are they related to some kind of a consumer product?
No.
Is this a movie-related question?
No.
Oh.
Normally mine are, but this isn't.
Hmm.
Are
they in science or industry?
No.
Are they?
I would say it's kind of timely, based on what's in the news
a
lot now.
Are they athletes?
No.
They were not in the Olympics?
No.
Were they gangsters?
No.
Did they all invent firearms?
No.
Well, Willie Magnum. Yeah.
Right, Magnum. I was, that was one way to go with that.
Gratz Brown. But they were all in the same line of work or interest?
Yes.
Charles Jenkins. And how long ago are we talking about?
Oh, from 1832 to 1972.
Oh. And not politics.
It is.
It is politics.
Yes.
1832 to 1972. And it's politics.
Are they all candidates for a particular party?
Yes, but not the same party. Just they were all candidates.
They're all third-party candidates?
I'm not sure you'd say all. I would say, third party.
So were they, say, the presidential candidates for the Prohibition Party or the the Know-Nothings or the, some lesser-known party?
Well, they were, but that's not what they have in common.
Not what they have in common.
Like John Floyd was from the Nullifier Party.
They all lost.
Yeah.
Money
Magnum, Gratz Brown. Gosh, no. All right, we give up.
They all received at least one electoral vote.
Okay. It's between 1832 and 1972.
Right.
One electoral vote. Ugh. Good question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Google.
It's true.
Jonathan Westerling, starting at Google. So we all congratulate him on that.
Thank you.
And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. So call Jonathan and ask him what's wrong with your phone.
Oh, please don't.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. And Jonathan, I think it's your turn.
It is. I brought some Olympics related questions since I happen to be here and
not at the Olympics.
And not at the Olympics, yes. The order that the countries march into the opening ceremonies is in alphabetical order, according to the host country's language.
Oh, so, interesting.
So here are three opening ceremonies-oriented questions. Which country this year jumped up to position number 3 in the parade when normally they would be in the lower hundreds? My second question, what country was first in the parade 4 years ago in Beijing? And the third is, in Beijing, how was the alphabetical order determined since they don't use Western characters?
Right.
Very good. I have no idea. But,
so
great
go
question.
Over the whole thing once more.
Okay. The opening ceremonies, the countries march into the event in alphabetical order according to alphabetical order in the host country's language. So three questions. Which country this year, because of the host country's language, jumped up to position number 3, whereas normally they would be in the lower hundreds, the very bottom of the list? Not the very bottom, but pretty close to the bottom. Second question, which country was first in the parade 4 years ago in Beijing? And the third question is, at that same Beijing Olympics, how was the alphabetical order determined since they don't use Western characters, A through Z?
Yeah, good question. Was the one that was in third place this year, was it a large or a small country?
It's a fairly large country. And if you
too many countries, I guess.
If you think it out,
yeah,
it would be a country with more than one word in the title, where the second one, is probably.
I got that far, but that's as far as I got.
Okay,
right.
The third part intrigues me the most.
Okay,
how they determine the?
Okay. I have to mull that over. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Was that a recorded voice at the top of the show, Amelia Earhart?
It was. Oh, very nicely done.
Excellent.
That was a speech she gave in 1935 called A Woman's Place in Science. And I happened across that speech, and I was amazed by the language and the words she used talking so wonderfully about women in 1935. Oh. Was way ahead of her time. So kudos to Amelia Earhart.
Very good.
Good. I believe there's a standard romanization of Chinese that the Chinese government has adopted. Is that how they set the order of countries?
There is, and that's not how they did it.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I have a vexillological question in regard to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of flags. Want to know what the flags of these countries, Algeria, Djibouti, Panama, Tunisia, and the Western Sahara, have in common with our state flag.
Our state flag? You mean our California state flag?
California state flag.
Give me the countries once more, if you would.
Algeria, Djibouti, Panama, Tunisia, and the Western Sahara.
Well, is there an animal of any type on those flags?
Certainly on the California state flag, but not on the others.
Not on the others. Okay.
Is it a color in common?
Yes.
Is it green?
No.
But is the color what you're looking for?
No. Well, oh. Part of the answer is color, yes.
But is there an image that all these flags share?
Yes.
Okay. But not an animal image. Djibouti, Algeria, Western Sahara. Djibouti. No, it's not it. A color, but it's an image. Image. Give us a hint in terms of what the image kind of thing would represent.
Well, it's a symbol. It's a symbol that's a certain color. Many flags have this symbol in different colors.
I don't know. What's the color on the California state flag?
So is the color... No, did you ask this, Jonathan? Did you say to ask the color the color was green?
Yeah, it's not green.
It's not green.
No.
And so it's nothing... Well, of course, Panama is not Islamic, but Djibouti and Algeria and Western Sahara are.
I don't think we're going to get this one.
No.
Shall we put it out there?
Okay.
Very good.
Do it.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Thank you.
And, it's my turn. Okay. Fair enough. All right, I'm going to give you some city nicknames. These are cities around the United States, and these are their nicknames. Some cities have more than one, but I'm just picking out some of the better-known nicknames here. So all you have to do is name the city. So these are city nicknames for cities in the United States. All right, here we go. The Pittsburgh of the South, number one. Number two, the Queen City of the West. No jokes there. And Chemical Capital of the World. That's number three. Number four, the Crab Cake Capital of the World. And number five is the San Francisco of the South. So again, these are city nicknames for cities around the United States. Tell me what city we're talking about. They're all major or reasonably major cities. Number one, the Pittsburgh of the South. Number two, the Queen City of the West. Number three, the Chemical Capital of the World. Number four, the Crab Cake Capital of the World. And number five is the San Francisco of the South. I'll give you each one.
Are they major cities?
Yeah, they're all relatively major cities. Some are, a couple are smaller than the others, but it's mostly.
Well, some state has a big, or used to have a big, iron foundry, mm-hmm. i.e. Pittsburgh, was a center of that, I think, but I can't remember what. I think it was like Alabama or Arkansas.
Think it over.
And we're only allowed one guess, huh?
Yes.
Is the chemical capital of the world in Delaware?
It is. What city is it?
So that's Dover.
No.
Ah. I guessed wrong.
Now what's
the other? It's the other city
the
in Delaware.
City, the big city in Delaware.
Oh, there's more than two cities in Delaware. But
what is the big city in Delaware? Jeez.
You'll come up with it.
Dover's
eventually.
The capital.
I know, right?
Yes, Dover's the capital. That's a pretty small
and,
place.
And the chem, you got the crab cake capital of the what?
Of the world.
It's got to be in Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Maryland?
You have to give me the city, not the state.
Oh, the city. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Baltimore.
Yes, Baltimore.
Yeah, right.
It's the crab cake capital of the world.
And the San Francisco of the South.
Yes.
God.
And if you've ever been there, you would see what they're talking about.
New Orleans.
No. So again, the ones we have left, city nicknames, Pittsburgh of the South, Queen City of the West, Chemical Capital of the World, and the San Francisco of the South. What cities are those talking about? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hey, it's Oliver in Chicago.
Hi, Oliver.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I tuned in a little late. I did have Baltimore, obviously, the crab cake, Maryland. I apologize if I'm repetitive. A little, I know you guys don't like sports trivia, but a little Olympic history.
That's okay.
Trivia.
Yeah, we always give you a pass on the Olympics, so that's fine.
All right. So the modern pentathlon. Are you guys familiar with the modern pentathlon?
I've heard of it, but I don't know.
Did one just this morning.
I know the Russians can't compete this year.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I say I know the Russians can't compete in it this year.
Oh, they're not allowed to. So, some cool history if we want to skip that. It was introduced in 1912, the idea being a soldier, an infantry soldier could compete well in it, battling their skills. In the year it was introduced, in 1912, there was a very famous American that came in sixth place. There were 10 countries that were represented, and he was representing the United States, who was this American.
1912. Is that...
Not Jim Thorpe, was it?
No.
He wasn't in the Olympics. I don't think he was in the Olympics.
Thanks, King. My favorite story. Was it... No, I know Patton was in the Olympics.
Boom.
Wow. Nice.
Nailed it. George Patton.
All right. Right. Yeah.
Which I read his history afterwards. I didn't realize he died in 1945, the year after World War II. He's got a very interesting biography. So anyways, well done.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, we'll start with you.
Marnie Nixon, who famously sang, was a voice for Audrey Hepburn, Deborah Carr, and Natalie Wood in movie musicals, only sang herself on screen once. In what role?
And it's a famous movie. It's a
famous movie, yeah.
Right. Go ahead, John.
And in the Olympics, the countries march into the opening ceremony in alphabetical order according to the local country's language. So which country this year entered at position number 3, whereas normally they'd be much, much later in the alphabet? My second question about that, which country was the first country in the parade 4 years ago in Beijing? And speaking of Beijing, how was the alphabetical order determined since they don't use Western characters?
Very interesting. And, all right, I'll give you some leading female roles in long-running Broadway shows. These are all very big hits, long-running shows. I want you just to identify the show for me. So the ones we have left are Maggie Winslow, number one, Ada Lester, number two, Myra Bruhl, B-R-U-H-L, number three, Vita Simmons, number four, and Corey Bratton, C-O-R-R-I-E, Bratton, number five, and Rosemary Pilkington, number 6. So those are important female characters in very long-running Broadway shows. Some are straight plays, some are musicals. Identify the play. And you have some city nicknames here. The ones left over are the Pittsburgh of the South. You just have to identify what city they're talking about. The Queen City of the West, the Chemical Capital of the World, and the San Francisco of the South.
Oh, I thought all those characters were from musicals. They may be from plays.
No, they
too.
Could be straight plays or musicals.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of mixed. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. This is Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. That caller's earlier call about the flags, about the California flag.
Right.
And all that. It's a red star, one red star.
Ah, very good. Yeah, very good.
Flag.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I'll guess some of the female characters, but I'm pulling these out of my butt, as it were, since I have no idea. Maggie Winslow. How about Damn Yankees?
No, not that.
Maya Brohl, 10 Little Indians?
No, but you're kind of on the right track on that.
That's the Mousetrap?
No.
Oh. Hmm. And Rosemary Pilkington, how about Arsenic and Old Lace?
Not that, nope.
Like I said, I was guessing. City nicknames, Pittsburgh of the South, is that Birmingham, Alabama?
It is, Birmingham. Alabama. Very good.
I got Alabama, by God.
Yes, but that's not
what
I'm
Jerry Hinch clued me in on.
Right.
Yeah.
The chemical capital, is that Wilmington, Delaware?
Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
The largest city in the United States without commercial air service, by the way.
Ah,
oh, really?
There you go.
Oh, really?
Queen City of the West, is that Seattle?
No.
And SF, San Francisco of the South, how about Savannah, Georgia?
No.
Yeah. And let's see, the alphabetical order for the, which country was third this year? Is that Saudi Arabia?
No, but that's an excellent guess. Yeah, that you're on the right track with that, but that was not country number 3.
Shoot. Okay, and then I've got some Olympic questions of my own. Let's see, there have been 3 Olympic events in which live animals have been used.
Pigeon shooting was one.
Yeah, in the modern Olympics. I've
read that.
Yeah, pigeon shooting is one.
Are they still events?
Only one of them still is.
The one that is dressage.
Yeah, that's right, the equestrian, yeah.
Anything with a greased pig?
No.
So we got 2, right?
Yeah, 2. 2 of the 3.
So is the third one current or not?
No, it's not current.
Okay.
How about...
And it's a winter Olympic sport.
Oh.
Fishing?
No.
Ice fishing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That has to do with an animal. Is this a land animal?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, sled dog racing.
That's right.
Yes.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Good job.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, then one more question on the Olympics. What city has made the most official bids without winning?
I think I
read Boston just turned down the chance. Is it Boston?
It is not Boston.
It's not. What continent is this city on?
It's North America.
Oh. They made the most bids without winning.
Can you tell us if it was a summer or a winter Olympics?
Summer, summer. And it's made 7 bids.
San Francisco.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
No.
Been a few times for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happily been.
Is it in the United States?
It is in the United States. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and the bids were made between 1944 was the first one and 1972 was the last.
How about Chicago?
No, but you're getting closer.
So it's in the Midwest.
Yes.
No, St. Louis had the Olympics. Minneapolis?
No, though they have the Minneapolis is one of the few cities to have bid for both the Summer and Winter Olympics.
Okay.
Not Detroit.
It is Detroit.
Oh, excellent.
Very
good job.
Excellent.
All right.
They're not bidding
Thanks
right
a
now.
Lot.
No.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tom.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Well, it's a multi-part question, and it's toward the end of the show. But anyway, here are some lesser-known songs from 6 famous Broadway musicals. Give me the show. I think you need 3 for a bell. A Quiet Girl, Lonely Room, Den of Iniquity, My Old Girl, Do You Love Me, It's Today, and The Story of Lucy and Jesse. Those are seven, actually.
Once more, Jerry.
A Quiet Girl, Lonely Room, Den of Iniquity, My Old Girl, Do You Love Me, It's Today, and The Story of Lucy and Juicy. Lucy and Jesse. So what? They're all well-known shows.
So Lonely Room is the only one that rings a bell.
Yeah, I heard you make a sound, yeah.
And that's an older show, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. It's not Showboat, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. Is it Rodgers and Hart?
No.
Okay. Lonely Room. I have to think about that. And Do You Love Me? That's not... No, I keep thinking of Fiddler on the Roof.
That's it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Do I love you?
Well, he asks his wife...
Do you love me?
He asks his wife if she loves him. And,
right.
And this is in an era when love was not romantic.
Right. Okay.
Idea.
Got that. Anyway.
Very good.
Lonely Room.
Very good.
What? Tell me what decade Lonely Room was in.
40s.
Oh, that's so familiar. Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. Well, Sparky and Maddie, how are you all doing?
Good.
Actually, to the caller who talked about unique letters found in U.S. states, the letter F does not apply because it's in Florida and California.
So it's not F. Well, what is there a third then?
I'm sorry?
Is there a third letter that only appears twice?
Oh, twice?
I'm sorry. Oh, that only appears once. Pardon me. That only appears once, yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just know it as New Jersey and Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, not the point. The third country to come into the Parade of Nations is South Africa.
Yes, well done. That is correct.
Because it's like Afrique.
Afrique,
Sud.
Yeah. In, yes.
And it has the same initials as Saudi Arabia.
It does, but Afrique
right.
is above
no, Arabia.
Arabia.
Yeah. And they probably spell Afghanistan differently, too.
Huh. Or they didn't field the team.
Right.
Mm, that's true. But anyway, Marty Nixon, she came in, she was in The Sound of Music as a nun.
Right. Very good.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. Good.
Which I thought was pretty good. And I always quip that, you know, she did the singing for Audrey Hepburn and Natalie Wood, and people don't really realize that... she also did the singing for Marlon Brando in Guys and Dolls, but that.
And she sang one note for Marilyn Monroe in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Sparky.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Jonathan, it's your turn.
Okay. We've had some politics in the news, so here's a quasi-political question. Other than being the heir of Ross Perot, what is Ross Perot Jr. best known for?
He's known for anything?
He is.
Wow.
Or he was.
Did he invent something?
Nope. This was.
You said was, so this is something he did in the past.
This was big news when it happened.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was this anything illegal?
No.
Okay. Hmm. No. Okay. And, well, actually, repeat the question, if you would.
Sure. Other than being the heir of Ross Perot, what is, or was, Ross Perot Jr. best known for?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Laura in Napa.
Hi, Laura.
I have a couple of answers and a couple of questions.
Okay.
Is the San Francisco of the South Charleston, South Carolina?
It is not.
Oh. And the Queen City of the West, Long Beach?
It is not.
Okay. The country that marched into Beijing first, Greece.
Very good. You got it.
Oh, but
Laura.
They always
yes,
march
they always
first.
March first. It's yes. a trick question.
Right.
Well done, Laura. Very good.
Very clever. All right. Yes.
Kind of a trick question. Okay, on the Olympics.
Yes.
A quarter of the athletes are from one state. Which state is that?
Of the United States.
Of the United States, yes.
California.
Yes.
Hmm.
And of the 50 states, 46 are represented and 4 are not. Which are the 4 that are not?
Oh.
Gee whiz. It's just a guess, yeah.
Would you say that the answer to this question has something to do with the population density in those states?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
New Jersey.
No, no. How about North or South Dakota, for instance?
North Dakota, yes.
Okay. How about Wyoming?
Yep.
Okay, so that's 2.
Rhode Island?
They are represented.
They are,
so
okay.
No.
Idaho.
They're represented.
How about, let me think for that. Delaware or Montana?
Montana is one of them, and the last one is in the east. It's on the east coast.
On the east coast. But it's not Delaware.
No.
Okay.
Maine?
Actually, it's not on the east coast, but it's one of the eastern states.
Okay.
West Virginia.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, all right.
Got it.
Him.
All right. Well done.
Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Laura.
And let's see. Whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Oh, okay. All right. What state has the highest rate of incarceration in the world? One out of every 6 residents, excuse me, not one out of every 6. That would be high. One out of every 86 residents are in jail in this state.
By state, you don't mean U.S. state.
I do mean a U.S. state.
U.S. state.
Yes.
One out of every
this 80. U.S. state has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. One out of every 86 residents of this state are in jail.
Illinois.
No. You're thinking of all the politicians that went to jail there.
Well, no, I'm thinking of Chicago as a crime
true.
Rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, not Illinois.
Hmm.
Is it one of the state? Is the state represented at the Olympics?
Yes. So one of the 46. So once more, what state has the highest rate of incarceration in the world? One out of every 86 residents are in jail currently.
Wow.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I see. It most likely Texas.
No, it's not Texas.
Okay, so I have a very quick question because I know time is short. I'm going to appoint you as a god today, all right? So the Earth actually is about 6 trillion, trillion kilograms. The Sun is 330,000 times as big as Earth, 1/3 of a million. Then all, you know, Sun and Earth and everything is only 1 out of 200 billion stars and planets around the Sun. In fact, 500 billion planets around, in our galaxy, I'm sorry. And then you have billions and billions and billions of galaxies. Now you are god, and you want to create a new universe. How many kilograms do you need? Tricky, tricky, tricky.
I'd be a terrible god.
No, you're a good god, like the one we have today. If we do have one.
Okay.
How many pounds? How many kilograms you need? Remember, trillions just for Earth, trillion, trillion. Sun is 330,000 times as big as Earth. You know how many do you need? I'll give you the answer because it's very close.
All right.
Zero, because everything adds to zero. You have as much negative energy as positive. And actually, the dark matter and matter we have all add up to a zero. You need nothing, really nothing, to create the universe we have today. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
True.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Okay. Guess for Kevin in Sunnyvale, the alphabetical order that got so much better for a country, is that the Portuguese version of Estados Unidos?
No, that actually was guessed. It's South Africa.
Ah, okay.
But good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And let's see, did somebody just answer the flag question?
They did.
Yeah, Red Star.
Red Star.
Right.
Okay. Okay. San Francisco or the South, I think that's sort of a recent thing. I think it's Austin.
It is not Austin, though. It's a perfectly logical guess.
Oh, okay. I think the Queen City of the West is ironic these days. I think it was back when the West was in the East. Is that like Cincinnati or something like that?
That's I like your logic, but it is not on the West Coast, but it is not Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, striking out here. The incarceration, how about someplace like Mississippi?
Not Mississippi.
Alabama.
No, keep going.
Louisiana.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Good job.
Okay, question.
Right.
Aristocles, A-R-I-S-T-O-C-L-E-S, is better known by his nickname, and his nickname means basically blockhead.
Oh.
And do you know?
In Greek?
Yes.
My knowledge of Greek is limited, very limited. Aristocles.
Very, very, very well known.
Plato.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Did you figure that out or just guess?
Mostly guessed.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
It's kind of cognate with Plateau. Or, you know,
right.
Plateau. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
I had to run out and help a neighbor. Did Sparky get Marnie Nixon?
He did, yes. About, okay. Yes.
And so the female characters, Maggie Winslow is not Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, is it?
No, is not. Okay. Although, you're the same first name, so I can see you with that.
Yeah, that's all I had. Right. Myra Brewell, is that witness for the prosecution?
No, but it's a tricky kind of play like that.
Yeah, well, I don't have it.
All right.
what about the song My Old Girl?
Yeah.
Damn Yankees.
Very good.
Love that song.
My Old Girl, yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, is it too late to ask you this six-part Oscar question I have, or should I try again next
week? Try again next week.
Next week, yeah. I think, yeah.
We only got 3 minutes
left. I
got
left. Late. Sorry.
Right.
Have a good show.
Thanks,
you
Thomas.
Are having one.
All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Karen in Albany.
Hi, Karen.
Lonely Room, that's from Oklahoma.
Very
good. Oh,
good
job on that. Thank
Judge,
you.
Judge sings that, yeah.
Right.
Very good, very good.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Paul from San Francisco.
Hi, Paul.
I think the Queen City is Denver.
It is not. Oh, yes, it is Denver. What am I saying? Yes. Good job.
And San Francisco of the South is Atlanta?
It is not Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thanks.
Good job on Denver. Thank you very much. Okay. Time to clean up here. What do we got, Jerry?
Well, I've got some lesser known songs, but I want to save them for the next week, so I won't give the others.
Okay.
Well, because they're good. It's a good question. I want to save it. And that's all.
All right.
Sorry.
In Beijing, they chose the order of the countries marching into the venue by the number of strokes it takes to write the character of that country's
weird.
Name. Yeah, so the more simple names got earlier booking. And Ross Perot Jr. was the first person to pilot a helicopter around the world. The first person.
I should have known it was something to do with the aviation.
Yep. Oh.
The San Francisco of the South is Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh.
All right. The character names from long-running Broadway shows. Maggie,
Can I guess one quickly?
Yeah, go ahead. Very
Maggie
quick.
Winslow, is that the Rainmaker?
No. Maggie Winslow is from A Chorus Line. Ada Lester is from Tobacco Road. Myra Brule is Death Trap. Vita Simmons, better known as Vita Louise Simmons, that's from Harvey. Carrie Bratton is the female lead in Barefoot in the Park. And Rosemary Pilkington is Pierpont's girlfriend in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Oh, Robert Morris's girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you enjoyed the show. Our panel tonight, Jerry Nachman, and from Google, Jonathan Westerling. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Thank you, Dana.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. So thanks to David Autelieb and Steve Wilcott. Have a great week, everybody. Join us next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.
It's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's got to be this or that.
If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't
this dry, is a test of the emergency alert system. That concludes this test of the emergency alert system. This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco.